you treat me, interaction with folks. Eat the word and drink the blood. That's all you got to focus on. Well, I was just wondering. Don't wonder. You're not changed. You're not transformed. You can't even relate to another person with your mind in this state. You got to eat that word and ingest that spirit until you're able to be normal enough again to even talk to another human being. You don't believe that? I can't be full of lust and interact with her because all I'm doing is looking at breast and butt and I'm looking at something trying to get next to her for me. Unless my mind is transformed, how can I properly relate to her when I'm insane? You got to have your mind transformed to interact with another human being. That's what's wrong with people. Instead of going through the process of transformation, they try to act like they're all right. So here I am with a homosexual spirit, a lesbian spirit, trying to act like I'm holy. You know what I'm going to do? Hang around folk with that same spirit and everybody going to detect the fact that you're still nasty inside. Because there's been no what? No change, no transformation. Till that happens, you're incapacitated and unable to relate to another human normally. Because the old you and how you were programmed is going to be around trying to relate to people, and you're abnormal, having lost your mind already. So you might as well put the brakes on all of that and get to God and eat his flesh and drink his blood. Stay in the word. Bathe yourself in the word. Don't think any farther than the word. And you'll be progressively made free enough to be normal again to interact with people. It's bad, man, to see folks trying to act saved. That's an ugly thing. Ugly. It really is. Look at Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Let's see here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So look, you put off, you take off after your former lifestyle, the old man, the unregenerate Adamic man, take him off. He's corrupt according to your own deceitful desires and lust. That's what corrupts you. Your own nasty desires in the Adamic race is corrupting you. He says, take that man off. How do you take him off? You stop feeding him. Stop listening to the old music. Stop hanging around your old friends. Stop trying to find out what's going on with them. If you're a woman having old girlfriends still laying around with dudes, don't want to know what they're doing with them. Don't want to know what they just did to them. Don't listen to that input that's defiling you about men because these girls are angry at all their boyfriends. If you're trying to get free and want to marry a decent guy, why you want to get inputs from somebody dealing with a no good guy? Because that's defiling your thinking processes about a guy. Leave them alone. You're trying to change the dichotomy that defines your existence. You can't do that drinking from the old fountain. You take off the old man by avoiding everybody in covenant with the old man. Leave them behind. That's not you anymore. It's the former lifestyle, the former conversation. He says, take it all off. You got to leave some folks alone. You keep getting information, direction, philosophical inputs, and all kinds of theories from minds contaminated by demons. Why would you listen to some mess inspired by the devil while you're trying to be made new? But I still like a few songs by R. Kelly, and the Lord showed me that's still valid. You know, it's now Christian rap. It's been sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You see, you're not through with the world. Your flesh is still Adamic, still having some nuances and vestiges of the Adamic desire. Your deceitful lust still control you. You're not ready to let it all go, and therefore you can't be transformed. He says, take all that off by not feeding the filth. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because you're no longer ingesting from the demons. That's what's renewing your mind. You change the plate you're eating from. I don't eat the plate of devils anymore. Notice how it said back in Hebrews that Jesus' body was our sacrifice. That means that Jesus was the sacrifice for us for our sins before God. You got to understand, Jesus just didn't die for us. Jesus was sacrificed up to God for us. God received Jesus as a sacrifice for the entire human race. So I got to sanctify myself from what the human race is doing in the devil's kingdom and feed on the flesh and the blood of Jesus to renew my mind. I got a new appetite. I got a new disposition. I got a new meal I'm eating. My diet has changed. I'm putting on the new man from eating from another table. I'm eating from the table of the Lord now to change my mind. Once you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, he says, now put on the new man. That's a righteous man. You're a changed man. What did that? The blood that washed your soul clean. It's the blood. The word of God is splattering that blood. And the blood is the conduit by which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. If you got a little of the Holy Ghost, that means you got a little of the blood. You got a little of the blood because you got a little bit of the word. So you want the Holy Ghost, you stay in that word. You bathe in that word day and night. You take a shower in the word for the Holy Ghost to come upon the word in you. The Holy Ghost only comes on Christ. Out of the Jordan River, he didn't baptize folks standing around Jesus. He only came on Jesus. If the Holy Ghost sees you hungering and thirsting after that word, as you feel that word, the blood is splattered on you. The soul of Jesus is splattering into you. And the Holy Ghost comes on the soul of Jesus. Just like the demons filled your filthy, Adam-contaminated soul, the Holy Ghost will fill your clean soul when he sees the blood of Jesus, and the death angel will pass over you. Why won't he come upon you? Because the Holy Ghost has established what? A beachhead. He is the earnest given to the purchased possession. The blood bought you back. You're a blood bought person. It's a blood bought salvation. He marked you with his blood because you ate the flesh and you drank the blood. Stop being externally focused trying to deal with folks, trying to fit in, trying to get a membership card to a church, trying to belong, trying to wonder why so-and-so don't talk to me. You don't need them to talk. If Jesus talks to you, why do you need them to talk to you? Find identity in Christ first. He'll give you friends. He'll give you what he wants you to have. But unless you only focus on him first, making him the primary thing, what you'll do is lose and leave your first love. Because you'll be validated by people around you and not by him. Right. Not many people brag about the church they go to. They think this big church gives them credence. It means nothing to God. You left your first love. Now the icon is now the church. And you idolize and worship the church. I'm a good Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic. You worship denominational memberships. I'm a Mason, I'm an Eastern Star, I'm a member of a sorority, a fraternity. That's your God that gave you identity. You were nothing before you became a Delta. Now you're important because you're a Delta. Everything is red. Your car is red. Your walls in your house painted red. Your license plate got the Delta in Sydney on it. Everywhere you go, you got to let them know what the red and white on. That's all you wear. Everything I got is red and white. Red shoes. I got white shirts, white jeans. I just stay in the red and that white because that's my identity. If I wasn't a Delta, I don't know what I'd do. That's what makes you leave Christ, forsake him, because I got identity somewhere on the devil's plantation. I'm still a slave. My deceitful lust and wanting to belong and fit in has bound me. It's a rare person that doesn't want to fit in with somebody. There can be a rugged individual that can walk by themselves. Most folk got to have somebody to validate them and some group to belong to make themselves feel like I'm loved and wanted and appreciated. That's the very inroad for a woman to be taken and deceived by a man. All they're going to see is a bleeding heart wanting somebody to hold me. Notice me. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to hold my hand. My girlfriend got boyfriend. I want to have a boyfriend too. When they go out, you know, I can't even go. They're going out in couples, and I'm always the solo pilot sitting there around the table. Everybody got their boyfriend. I'm sitting up here by myself. I feel like an ugly duckling. You headed for a disaster. Because you're going to find some bum to validate you, which ain't going to rip your heart out your chest and hand it to you on a silver platter. All because you idolized your girlfriends who live in hell. They don't tell you the hell they go through. They're trying to look like they're doing something in front of you. But that guy is living a hellacious double life behind closed doors, and you thinking they got somebody. The dude, a homosexual they going with. They married a homosexual. He's slipping out with other men. They're not going to tell you that. You know, Larry got a boyfriend. He married to me. I found he got a boyfriend. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to walk around with Larry like Larry is to catch me out. Now, I tell you, I live in anguish because I know this joker being sodomized every night by his boyfriend, and then he come dragging home to me. Don't even sleep in the same room with me. He don't even like women. He sleep on the couch downstairs, and I sleep in the bed. And I try to call him, and they say, hey, look, girl, I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm staying here to make you look good for your friends. Now, don't call me up there. I don't want no woman. As a matter of fact, Mike is coming by tonight, and we need the bed. You sleep on the couch tonight. I'm bringing Mike over. They're not going to tell you that. You don't believe some people live like that? You know how many women have married a guy and got involved in group sex because the guy can't have no one woman. He tell the girl, if you're going to marry me now, I got to have other women. And they start inviting the women over and the girl become bisexual for this dude. That's what you see people in public acting crazy, looking crazy. That's what's going on in the house. The girls become bisexuals. Vanity told you that's what Prince did to her. Brought in other women with them and turned her into a bisexual woman, and she had to have sex with other women to satisfy Prince. It's not like it looks. It's not like you think. A lot of these old rappers, they bisexual, and they turn these girls out into freaks. Some old guy wanted to perform oral sex on you, you do it to him, and he want to sodomize you. If that joker want to sodomize you, that joker's a homosexual. And it's just a matter of time before he's going to be leaving you and finding himself a dude. Because the sodomizer, sooner or later, wants to be sodomized, and girl, you ain't got the right plumbing. That's what's going on. And then they turn you out, freak you out, cause you were the homosexual, and he finally drifts on off to find himself another man, and you left there with your mouth hung open talking about how fine you were. You might be fine, but you ain't got the right equipment to satisfy this dude. This dude like muscles and a beard and a mustache. That's what's going on. That's why the world is so freaked out and you can't figure out what's wrong with these people. That's why they're offended publicly when you preach against it, because they are sodomites. We war against the power of witchcraft that has turned people into sodomites. That's what's doing it. Witchcraft is turning them into sodomites. That's the power behind the scenes. We war against the witchcraft that controls the human race. The goal of witchcraft is to establish goddesses as icons to be worshipped to replace God. That's why they wanted a female president as the queen of the witches. What happened? All this stuff is in play, trying to get these folk trapped in the idolatry of the female form. This is the desire of Eve. Once she was accosted by Satan and perverted and turning against Adam, she wanted to be a goddess to Adam, and Adam was supposed to worship her. That's why God says that Adam is over you, and your desire will be toward him, because you tried to conquer him and take over. I'm not letting it happen, just like he didn't let it happen on November the 8th. What's the next big battle? It's in the church. As God begins to remove this unlawful authority over the church, you're going to see World War III in the church. These women pastors are going to go into a rage. These homosexual pastors are going to go into a rage. These girly boy pastors are going to be enraged. But supernatural attestation will back up the real church. They won't stand up against power. It's got to be power salvation from here on out. It can't be words and talking. You got to go nuclear on these jokers. This is a nuclear attack on these folk, because that's all they understand. What happens when you see that kind of a conflict in an environment? Well, the queen bee is being accosted. Look at it. Look over at Acts chapter 19. We'll wrap it up with Acts 19. When you engage now the queen bee, when you hit that feminine character, when the feminine icon is accosted, you're going to get a nuclear explosion. You see, under the blood of Jesus, he transforms your mind to become patriarchal and to honor a father by nature. For the first time in your life, you can identify male authority, masculine male authority, and yield to it and submit to it. That's going to call you out from everybody down here. The world is feminized. That's why you got Charles Barkley and Shaq talking about Hillary Clinton as their president. That's why Vivica A. Fox says, Hillary runs the popular vote. She is my madam president, not Trump. Hillary is my president, Vivica A. Fox. Mine ruined by 50 cents. A feminine man, being with a homosexual man, she wants feminine character to rule over her. That's the governing thing that's got these folks now. So when we slam into this thing, you're going to get an eruption. It's going to be volatile. And most church people will never stand in the midst of a war like this. I'm telling you, you're going to find church folk leaving any identification with Christ by the hundreds of thousands. That's why you got to be forged now to do what? Be able to stand in a spiritual war. All we talk about is spiritual war here, because I know what's coming. When God moves to take his church back from the hands of a rebel like Jezebel or Athalia or Jeroboam and all these folks that try to take it over, you're going to get nuclear conflict. Herodias rose up viciously against John the Baptist. Why? He's telling the husband, it's not lawful for you to have her. And she stood up, because I got to the seat of the queen and you trying to dethrone me. That's what we're coming against. I'm telling you now, Oprah, Whoopi Goldberg, all these folk going to be your enemy. Paula White, Juanita Bynum, Jakes and his wife, all these folk, man, have set up all kinds of strongholds over folks' minds, telling you that they're valid authority. But God is not caring about what people think. He's going to take the church back from unlawful authority. But look what happens when he does. Ephesians chapter 9, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 19, verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Now, here's a mystery. Diana is a female goddess worshipped by the masses. Here in Ephesus, she was called Diana. But she's been called Isis. She's been called Ashtoreth. She's been called Aphrodite. She's been called Venus. She's been called Mary, the mother of Jesus. Same goddess. You can go to every civilization, you'll find Sybil, you'll find Hecate. All of these are the same female goddess to govern the masses. So you see now, this silversmith is making little small statues to Diana. Now you realize this. Everybody knows Hillary Clinton is Hillary Rodham Clinton. Rodham is not her middle name. Rodham is her last name. Her middle name is Diane, which is a derivative of Diana. That's what we were facing the other day in an election. You were facing the goddess Diana, same one they faced in Ephesus. So when you get the conflict, look at what happened in Ephesus. Look at this. He made these silver shrines, and it brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. He says, you know we're making these statues for Diana, that's what's making us wealthy. He coming here with Jesus trying to preach salvation is impugning our wealth as they turn toward Jesus. That's the conflict now. Look at this. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at nothing, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana, that was about to be set up at the White House, should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world does what? That's why they were crying like babies on Tuesday night. That was about the witchcraft that had raised up Diana over them, and they were weeping for the goddess. You remember in the Old Testament, they were weeping for Tammuz? They were heartbroken because Diana had been brought down. Their minds had been bathed with witchcraft and sorcery to make them worship the female goddess. That's the demons weeping through them. The demons are weeping over a fallen angel that did not go to the White House. You better wake up and realize what we're up against down here. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was what? Filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into the temple, unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. So you know what happened? They had this meeting talking about the goddess Diana. Verse 35, and when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knows not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Basically, it was probably a meteorite that fell and something was inside of it they made into a god. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open and there are deputies. Let them plead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. What did they get in Ephesians? A riot. What do you have on the streets now? Riots. Why? Because of Diana. Diane. Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. It's spiritual. It's demonic. I'm crazy to those people right now. I'm crazy. I'm a nut. Because they have no spiritual idea what's going on. The war is about a matriarchal image, a matriarchal takeover, the feminization of a masculine man. If a man is masculine, you are the enemy. There is a target on your back. They want you to be feminized and act like a girl. The thug life, roughneck, lesbian women nowadays can only identify with a masculine man or with a feminine man. They have no ability to identify with a masculine man. They're actually afraid of a masculine man because they don't know how to be a woman. See, if you've been a whore all your life, you don't know how to be a woman. But a sissy dude full of lust, that's your comfort zone. So you gravitate toward a feminine guy, castrated, a eunuch with no masculine character traits, because as a whore, I don't know how to deal with a man. I can't compliment and supplement a man. Hey, think Hillary is with Bill, full of lust. He's a whoremonger. That's a comfort zone. Stedman is Oprah's comfort zone. A kept man, a gigolo. That's my comfort zone. I'm a whore. The comfort zone is an effeminate man. Look at the damage done to the minds through this. Look at what we're really living in because of this. This is what was happening to you, and the devil hates this exposure because this is his calling card to take over everything. So God has to send a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John to confront Herod and Herodias. He always has somebody as a remnant to stand against it, to disallow it. Trump is nutty. Trump is kooky. Trump is wacky. But Trump is a guy. That's why God will overlook all those attributes that are crazy and opt to put him in before that feminine character, because he knows at that point the deal is done. You just finished the civilization. I can fathom that since this election cycle runs to 2020, 2020 might be the end of the game. Because it's perfect vision. 2020 vision is perfect vision. That's prophetic perfect vision. You might have one last reprieve. This is the last 4 years for us to ingather a harvest. And God is going to shut her down. Urgency. It's an urgent thing. You better get about the Father's business now. You better get your mind worked on to be counted worthy to escape. You can see that the demons were enraged because it didn't work. That's going to be pent up for 4 years if it lasts that long. And at the end of those 4 years, they're going to do anything they got to do to bring the Antichrist to power and that feminine character to take over. Remember, the Antichrist is a homosexual man. He's a man with a feminine insides. He has no desire for women, the Bible says. So you see now, it's feminine character even placed inside of a man. The devil can only work through feminine character. It's the antithesis of what God set up. He has to work in a realm of opposites. If God chose masculine character to work through, the devil must choose feminine character to work through. See how he always tried to enthrone Jezebel? Sent Bathsheba to conquer masculinity? Sent Delilah to conquer masculinity? Sent Herodias and her daughter to slit John the Baptist's throat? He can only operate through feminine character, and it's got to be perverted feminine character, because authentic, authorized feminine character seeks to complement masculine character. If you were out there seducing men, you were a weapon of the devil used to destroy men. You use your own physical body to destroy them. You hate men. See, most of these women laying up with guys hate men. They don't know what's the catalyst is driving them, but you're trying to conquer this guy. If he got any vestiges of masculinity, you see him as somebody to be conquered and broken by you. And you try to get into bed and whipping on him as hard as you can. You become a twerk monkey in the bed trying to get this guy broken in half. A twerk monkey. That's ugly. Look at how crazy twerking is. You out there hunching like a Great Dane dog in public, thinking you dancing and doing it. Dance teams doing that mess in these colleges and in high schools. A twerk monkey. You like a monkey. You crazy. And they hate me for saying it. Hate me. Look at you doing this. You're normal and I'm crazy. You're normal. I'm crazy. Now, I'm I'm standing in a suit. I'm just talking at attention, talking to the camera. You go, ha, ha. Then you look at me and say, you're crazy. I think you're a crazy fella. I'm crazy. Now, you twerking now. You twerking. You're a twerk monkey, and I'm crazy. And then the real religious people say, see, that's what I don't like. He called them people monkeys. I didn't call nobody a monkey. I used the generic term, twerk monkeys. So if that don't apply to you, you could care less. If you still got a twerk monkey living inside of you, the twerk monkey in you is now offended. Get the twerk monkey out of you. It's crazy, man. Everything down here is so crazy. If you bring up anything that's crazy, somebody's getting offended. Notice now, we live in a world of offense. Everybody's offended by something that anybody says. I'm offended by that. Well, I didn't like what you said. Look, I'm not couching my words in any kind of a format to try to please folk. It is what it is. You out there swinging from a stripper pole like a monkey, butt naked, whirling around, wrapping around a pole, just... You're insane. You a monkey hanging from branches in the jungle. You down in Zimbabwe hanging around like a chimpanzee on a pole thinking you being sexy. You're a fool. You lost your mind. Going to pole dance class. Then you bought a pole for your bedroom so when your husband comes in, you come out of the room in a thong and start swirling around the pole. You ever seen these people get married now? Now they have Beyonce performances for the man sitting in the chair, and she bring her girls out there, and they're going to dance at the wedding, trying to be Beyonce in front of them, doing all that twerking and stuff. What is wrong with you? This your wedding day. If I'm the guy, I'm sitting there thinking, what have I done? I married this fool. And you thinking in terms of one word, annulment. I have a way out. Annulment. It's not even 24 hours old. By tomorrow morning at 3, I'll be in the office to get that annulment. Because you married a nut. This place is insane. You need the blood to buy you out of this place. It's a blood-bought salvation. You need restoration of sanity by being delivered from what kind of a spirit? The sodomite spirit. When you're a sodomite, the problem is you're insane. What's the remedy? The blood of Jesus Christ to wash out that sodomite essence out of your soul. A sodomite is selfish. A sodomite is self-indulgent. A sodomite is a sex freak because the sodomite is looking for identity and validation from physical nuances that will stamp you approved. Notice how they got the women stressing their butt now. Everything is my butt, my butt, my butt. I got a big butt. If I don't have a big butt, I'll buy one. I'll glue one on. I'll steal yours, cut yours off and paste it on. I buy booty pop panties that have built-in butts. Now I have a butt in my panties built in. And when I put my drawers on, my butt is enhanced. Okay, I got married like this. Now, you get undressed, and you got an ironing board butt. Told you about the guy who got married, had this beautiful, vivacious girl. He got home after being married. She got undressed and took all them butt, booty pop drawers off, all the weave, took the wig and stuff off, took off the bra that had the breast built into it, took off the fake nails, the fake eyelashes, the fake all this stuff. Choked us, he found out I married a 90-year-old toothless man. I married a 90-year-old toothless man. I didn't know this stuff was fake, a drag queen. I thought it was a vivacious girl. I thought I had married Raquel Welch. I thought I had Halle Berry. A 90-year-old toothless man. Even her dentures were placed in a glass. Hey, look, man, you better get some papers, some kind of authentication. You better get a gynecologist to sign off on this thing before you say I do. You better get somebody to inspect this thing, man. Home inspectors inspect houses. car inspectors inspect cars. Before I say I do, I want to be in the office, the gynecologist, and I want him inspecting the equipment to find out for sure I got authentic plumbing here. That's how crazy it is. Some of these jokers put a woman to shame. You can get the finest girl around. You can stand with them jokers next to him. You think, except for his feet, he got them size 12 feet. If them high heels weren't in size 12 shoes, you'd never know. I'm talking about for real. I saw a guy get out of a car in Buckhead. That was the finest girl this side of the Mississippi River. But you saw them rest of size 12 with them stilettos on, them size 12 feet. You know, he was walking, his feet was too long. Like, you know, his heel would hit, then the rest of his foot would come down. And those heels, you're thinking, now that girl is the finest thing, but her feet so long. You know, it's like, doggone. Dog walking on boats, man. Bad body, I mean, shapely leg, tight miniskirt on, big old 40-inch chest, waist about 23 inches, hip flaring, round beach ball, but them feet, man. I told the guy, I said, look, man, peradventure. Yeah, I had my finger wagging. Peradventure, lad, my young lad, peradventure. Take these words of wisdom from an old man. My brethren, seek me as wisdom that you may find me as I instruct you, my brethren. That is not a woman. Peradventure. I used the word peradventure. That's not a man. That's not a man. That's a man, man. Ain't a woman. That's a man. And sure enough, when they came by, hey, how y'all doing? Down here, uh-huh. And then you see that little bit of razor hair, just a little shadow, a little bit of a goatee there, you know. Uh-huh. Say, hey, how y'all doing? Fine, I'm doing just fine. So I'm backing away, backing into the shadows. I'm doing fine. We in this mystical, magical world of illusion, delusion, and craziness. That's why you better go and get under that blood. You better stop theorizing about the thing and get up under the power of a blood-bought salvation. Because this is becoming Wonderland. You don't know what this is anymore. Don't take anything for granted. You don't know who's got the disease. Because see, AIDS don't show up for maybe 8-9 months sometime. You are already infected and don't know it. You see a lot of people walking around melancholy and sad because they're infected. They never smile. They're always depressed and can never be happy. They don't tell you I'm infected. And still having sex with folk. Still running around having sex with people. You take a big chance out there, man, where they look clean. All right? Looks can be deceiving because they ain't showed up yet. You know, a woman can have gonorrhea for months and not know it. In the military, you find out with these guys in the military, I used to be the guy that ran the squadron. Guys had to go down to the hospital and they get gonorrhea. You know the telltale sign for a guy having gonorrhea, right? I mean, I urinated, be about to burn my testicles off, be about to burn his penis off. Hey, man, here. Go to the infirmary, you got gonorrhea, man. They'll shoot you up for the penicillin and get that stuff out of you, man. It become old hat in the military. See, this is real life. But a woman won't have any telltale signs. She can lose all of her feminine organs from gonorrhea because she don't know she got it. It's a deadly game in these streets, buddy. You better get under the blood and stay there. He bought the whole human race by his blood. It's a blood-bought salvation. And he says, look, how can you forsake such a salvation, man? This thing was played with a heavy price, the blood of God poured out to save you, and you walking around in the midst of depravity and filth and gutter rot when God has already extracted you from it. All you got to do is do what? Receive it and believe it and accept it. It's a gift given. Adam fell by one man's sin. sin came into the world on the whole race. Now by one man's obedience, the sin is taken off of everybody. Man, who in the world would not accept this offer? And all the while you walk around with somebody putting one dagger after another through your heart, and you just go out there getting beat down and destroyed and just stay in it. That's insane. Come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing, and God will receive you unto himself. He'll be unto you a God, and you'll be his people. This is a powerful blood-bought salvation. I mix in stories and try to make it kind of light along the trail to keep it from being overbearing, but man, it's always serious. You don't have the time to fool around with this. We're on the clock. The streets are full of depraved people who have been almost animalized by these demons. They are vicious. You mention that election and stuff like that to people, you watch the viciousness in them. They'll be ready to tear you apart. Just telling you, man, it's corrupted to a place of not being retrievable. This is the day and the precursor, the forerunner of the reprobate mind. 50 million people voted for Trump, 50 million plus. 50 million plus voted for Hillary Clinton. They try to claim she got more of the popular vote, but I don't know. They'll tell you anything to stir up mess. But it was about a 50-50 split of those that voted. But 46 million people didn't vote at all. It was almost thirds, a third for Trump, a third for Hillary, and 46 million that stayed out of the whole deal. If 1 million more black people had voted, Hillary would have won. The black folks stayed home. The black folks stayed home. She didn't translate Obama's voters to herself. 13% of the black guys voted Trump because they didn't want a woman over them. That's God's reprieve, that you got enough male character, enough masculinity to say, I want to be a man. And I'll deal with Trump's nuances and his shortcomings before I let a woman rule over me. You might think that's negative. That's saving the hides of these folk that don't know how damnable this thing is. Isaiah 3:12 says, children are your oppressors and women rule over you. Oh, my people, those that lead you in the error. Anybody that says they're a Christian, you quote that to them and you ask them, how do you walk over that? You tell me how you walk over that. And you call yourself a Christian. You walk over that, you are not saved. You're a damned liar confessing a Christ that you refuse to obey. I see people viciously trying to prove that Hillary should have been the president and they claim to be Christians. You are deceived and the devil's got your mind hijacked. You better wake up. God has sent Jesus Christ to save us from that very thing you voted for. The takeover of Eve. Feminine rebellion is what God is fighting through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, ending with the woman in Revelation still riding the beast. The whore of Babylon. Read Revelation 17 and 18. You can't see that a woman is the one drinking the cup of iniquity, fornicating with the kings of this world. The false church is a rebellious female characterization of an unsubmitted whore that won't submit to Jesus as that husband, that mate. And it goes a whoring out from under Jesus to interact with the devil's kingdom to get the things of the devil. The faithful people come up under Jesus, align under proper government, and they defeat this feminine uprising. Women will have no natural inclination in them to be with a weak, effeminate man. Who wants to go home to that? How she look coming home and coming to the door? Hey, you got anything in the car you want me to get out the car? I go get it. I cook. You worked all day. I cook. And I got clean the house. And then you... I need my car tires changed. Can you go out there and change my tire for me? That's your husband. What woman in her right mind wants to interact with feminine character in a man? You ask a question, there's no decisiveness, no decision made, always asking you what to do. Never any authority, never knowing what to do, where to go, how to do it. Just a babbling fool that's up under you, waiting for you to make the decision about everything. Where you go for vacation? What are we going to do about something around the house? What's your call on this? What's your decision? I'm going to call my mommy and ask her. My mama, Yulia, no, let me make a phone call and call my mama. That's your husband. You know how many women have tried to fight with this guy about detaching from their own mama? Boy, you got a home now. This your house. You got kids and your wife is here. Why you keep running back to your mama? Look, you don't be talking about my mama now. That's my mama. That's my blood. And I'm not a mama. You married a mama's boy. Y'all got no guts. You better get to God and say, God, listen, fix my mind. I've been programmed to be under this feminine care. This matriarchal mafia has taken my mind over. God, fix my mind. Get me back to the patriarchal anointing of Jesus Christ and the Father so I can have my mind normalized again to expel all these demons out of my thinking. Because demons rebel against patriarchy. They hate masculine men. I must underline masculine. They don't hate men. They hate masculine men. Don't be just a man. You don't have to be dictatorial to be a masculine man. You don't have to be overbearing and loud and abrasive. You're just a regular Joe Blow guy. You're Andy Griffin. You're just a regular, you're Ben Cartwright. You're Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke. That's just a regular guy. Hey there, kitty. Sam, get me a beer. You know? But you want Chester. Hey, Mr. Dillon, Mr. Dillon, do you think, Mr. Dillon? Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Dillon. That's who you want, Chester. You want Barney Fife? Gomer Pyle. Sergeant Carter, Sergeant Carter, Sergeant. That's what you want. You want. I don't know what you want. What do you want? What do you want? Joe, you throw bricks through windows on Andy Griffin. What's his name? Ernest T. Bass. Yeah. Ernest T. Bass. You want Ernest T. Bass. Look at him. Chris Brown. Trey Songz. All those sissy singing dudes. You get on the top, I'll be on the bottom. Trading places. Somebody need to take a brick and bust you upside your head. And you sitting there just crying, just, ooh, girl, yeah. You like a sissy. You are actually magnetically drawn to a sissy dude. You know what you are inside? A man yourself. That's what's wrong with you. You become a man. Get up under the blood. Let Jesus save you. This is a blood-bought salvation. It's time to break out of this and break free. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and quicken them to the hearts of the hearer. It's time to magnify yourself, God, and set people free in their minds. Yes. The soul has been bound. Yes. It's time to unchain the soul and set a person free. Yes. God, send your word and heal everyone here. Heal the people by live stream. Let this blood pour through us to save our souls. This is an SOS. Save our souls so the Holy Ghost can fill us, transform us, and prepare us to embark this place saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's going to wrap it up for today. Remember, the conference is coming up next year, June 1st through the 4th. Go to that live stream page. It's the Soldiers of Light Beach Edition live Facebook page. The Soldiers of Light Beach Edition. Go there and click the going button as the head count begins so we can make plans around the numbers of people planning to go. Soldiers of Light Beach Edition Facebook. Go to that page, click going if you're attending so we can get that head count. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle, support it, www.omegaministry.org. Click on support, then donate. give, contributed $70,200 in the building fund, pressing toward $240,000 to get the place purchased and renovated so we can move in it and get the operation underway. It's all about overcoming this devil. We got a short window. I believe God gave a window here. I don't know when it's closing. We got to get in there, get that place fixed, get the work done, put an army on the streets around the world to bring this thing into a harvest format. I believe there are churches already around that will align themselves with us to join in with this effort to save these people, these last few saints, for us to get out of here. They're on the streets rioting every day. Remember now, December 19th is when the Electoral College votes, followed by January when they actually have the inauguration. You're going to see rioting, calamity, confusion, just like Ephesus with Diana. That's what you're going to see now, leading up to the electoral vote and the inauguration. You can't be moved by this stuff. You got to stay focused on that word and be ready to do an end time job. By June of next year, we're talking about a conference. We'll be living in another kind of a world by then. You got to be ready to change from the inside out. You got to be ready for the change in this civilization and culture. This ain't the same thing, y'all. It's a different kind of a world now. Your inner man has to adapt to it and still do the job. Dunamis Tabernacle, support it. www.omegaministry.org. Click on support, then donate. Also, remember the prayer line tonight. Stop dropping out, man. You got to stay engaged and fight. If you're easily offended, I used to tell my wife, the thing that's going to always identify somebody not ready, if you can be put out, you will be put out. Because something's going to happen to make you get away from this because you haven't got the inner man strong enough to endure hardness as a faithful soldier. If you can be put out, you will be put out. That's why you have to be delivered from external forces and know and sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart to make it in through this. The prayer line every night, Monday through Sunday, 641-715-3670, access code 409-367. It's real this time. Whatever was going on up to this point has been dismissed. It's real this time, and you got to be for real to make it in. This is a blood-bought salvation. It's time to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Stay in the word so the spirit can bathe you. You got to have a transformed mind to make it out of here. See you back here next week. Remember, Bible study Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stay safe. Stay out of this crazy world. And for whatever you do, stay out of this weird, strange matrix. Have a good week and be blessed.